Hi, folks. Steve Urban here, host of the Riderflex podcast and founder and CEO of our day job recruiting firm, Riderflex. We hope you enjoy this episode. And as a reminder, please subscribe to the podcast for updates and news. Finally, if you haven't already, check out the series of books we've published on hiring, interviewing, and overall career advice titled The Riderflex Guide, available on Amazon. And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Most homeowners don't have the time or expertise to properly take care of their home, which causes costly issues to arise. That's where Kura Home Maintenance comes in. We're a full-service, routine maintenance company that was developed by a certified home inspector. Each quarter, we service our clients' homes following manufacturers' recommendations to properly maintain all the necessary appliances. We provide the materials and expertise to prolong the life of your property, creating a healthy and efficient environment for your family. From top to bottom, we'll maintain and service your home. To get started, we have a property inspection to determine what needs to be maintained, and a maintenance plan is created based on your preferences. From refrigerator coils to filters, vents, and drains, we do it all, and we do it well. Contact us today for your free routine maintenance inspection. And never worry about your maintenance again.
You ready to roll? Ready to rock and roll?
Let's do it.
All right. Wendy Sellers on the Riderflex podcast. Hello, Wendy. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Hanging in there. Good. Great to be connected. I always enjoy talking to my HR friends. It's always fun conversation. I get them riled up on things usually because I'm not really a rule follower. I never was a rule follower as a boss, as far as like corporate rules, you know, can't say this, can't say that, can't do this, can't do that. And so I always enjoy talking to my HR friends. They're always busting my balls and stuff.
Keep in mind,
I started managing people like in 89, right? I was a boss in 89. So back then, there weren't as many rules. Trust me, you could get away with a lot more.
Yep.
a lot
less lawsuits, or there might be some of these guys before, they got tossed out.
That's right. Way before the lawyers took over, and then all the rest of it. Yeah. No, big, you know, I'm not picking on my lawyer friends or my HR friends, but yeah. Anyway, so give us the Wendy personal story first. I want to know childhood, siblings, parents, where you grew up, like who are you as a person? Let's talk about it.
Sure. So currently I live in Florida. I live in St. Pete, Florida, which I believe is the most important paradise you're going to get in the US anyways. I grew up in Northeastern Pennsylvania. So I am a Northerner, which I'm sure you could tell by much of my language already. I have a lot of siblings, and I grew up in a working class neighborhood. And I was convinced by whoever to go to school and keep going to school, which I don't regret, but then I do, because I now have two master's degrees and a bachelor's degree, and I probably don't need a whole heck of a lot of that. But that was at the time when they're like, go to school. And Then you come out with all these student loans and you're like, I don't really know if this is what I want to do in life. And that's kind of what happened to me. My first two degrees, I went to school for healthcare administration. I wanted to be in the healthcare world. And then I got into it because I went straight through, my master's and was working in retail and restaurant on the side. And then I got into healthcare administration and I was like, oh my, slit my wrist right now. What have I done? because it's just too slow moving. I need fast and I need not complicated. And when you get insurance companies and the government involved, everything gets complicated. Everybody's trying to get their piece. So I ended up, I threw a dart on a map. Honestly, one day I got frustrated, was done with my first master's degree, threw a dart on a map. There may have been some alcohol involved. And I ended up moving to Florida. And I was like, I'll figure it out when I get there. Didn't know anybody. Was in an elevator with a resume. Remember those paper resumes? And so I was in there with the resume, and lady was standing next to me. It turned out she was a headhunter staffing firm. And she said, can you do HR? And I said, well, I do, you know, retail management. I'm a retail manager. And it's, yeah, I could figure out HR. Sure. It's easy. No problem. And you know what? It was a lot easier back then. So I ended up, that's basically how I got into real HR besides management with the HR hat on. Eventually, I went back to school and got another master's degree and a million certifications in human resources. But most of my experience is hands on. And I had great in that company that I got hired in. It was in the architectural engineering firm, and it was a small company, was, you know, growing mergers, acquisitions. So I got to grow right with it. And I just had great leadership that they helped me go through the pitfalls and the mistakes and learn and talk to you like a human. And that's really where I learned how to manage and how to be human resources, which is the H part, which most people forget, the human part, and then the R part, the resource. You're not in control, you're helping other humans. And so that's kind of how I ended up in HR and was in HR for a very long time. And then eventually one day left the architectural engineering construction world and said, let me try something different, and ended up in one of the worst companies I could ever imagine being in. And I said, nope, I will not let anybody else deal with this ever again. And I became an HR consultant to help small businesses that didn't have HR. My business has morphed a lot since then, but that's basically where I ended up being the HR lady.
Oh, sorry. I like it when I'm talking to myself. Do you remember what you were in the elevator to interview for? Any idea what you were going into the building for that day?
You know what? I really don't. I was probably trying to sell the fact that I was in retail and restaurant management, that I know management, and that I have these fancy degrees. So I was probably trying to get into something, you know, educational. I love to teach. And ironically, that's what I do now. But majority of my business as the HR lady is manager training. And so honestly, I have no idea what I was going in there for. But I ended up in a great company with great mentors and didn't really have a title because it was small company. So I was referred to as the HR lady. And now I have two trademarks on that.
That's how you got the HR lady tag. I see. Interesting. Isn't it funny how life is like that, right? You turn left, you turn right. This little door opens. You weren't really planning. You go through this doorway and then this happens. I mean, if you hadn't gone to that building that day, if you hadn't got on the elevator right at that exact moment, if you hadn't been tagged with the HR lady tagline while you worked, I mean, all these things, right? Have you ever just reflect on that and go, wow, it is interesting how life just
kind of really spent. It really is. And I'm sure I would have ended up in an HR-ish role, but it may have been a much longer, you know, I probably would have took a role somewhere else in retail or a restaurant or healthcare and then morphed my way over to the HR department. And, you know, I'm glad things ended up the way it did, because I had to, it was feast or famine, fend for yourself. And just kept going back and get more degrees and listening to anybody who would give me advice and making some major mistakes along the way that now I go, well, thank God I didn't make those mistakes, because now I say I don't want to make that mistake again. So let's figure out a way around it.
Right. So you officially became an independent consultant business owner. When, what year?
It was, oh boy, I should know this. It's been like 11 years. So backwards plan from 2024. But yeah, it's been about 11 years. I think I'm going into my 11th year right now in 2024 that I've been doing that. And I've always dabbled along the side too, but I officially said, nope, that's it. Now, I wasn't the HR lady LLC at that point in time. My first company was called something else. Then I worked, I joined forces with some other consultants. I was the only HR person, did that for a while, and then eventually said, you know what, I want to do my own thing again, and I'm shifting gears one more time. Every time I, as an HR consultant, every time somebody hired me to be their HR consultant, I ended up back on their payroll. And I was like, no, this is not what I want to do. I want to help more. I want to help a lot of people all at once. And if I'm only helping one company, it limits me of helping all these others' companies without being exhausted, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I totally understand. As long as you can make a living doing it, you know, so many people don't like the Lone Ranger consultant because it's very, for a lot of people, it's hard to sell the next gig while you're on a gig, right? You're tactically entrenched into a gig and you don't have time to go out and network and get the next one. And then boom, the gig ends. And now you're in a downturn. Now you're scrambling, trying to find your next gig. And so a lot of consultants are just like, oh, fuck it. Okay. I'm just going to,
yeah. I actually have a call this week and next week with just random people that friends of friends know, like, oh, you need to talk to Wendy first. Oh, I'm going to start being an HR consultant. I'm like, all right, let me just tell you the crap you're about to go through. I'm like, you may, if you're cool with that and you're cool with being IT and marketing and finance and this, that, and the other, and, you know, 20% of your time is actually doing HR consulting or whatever it is that you do. Like, if you're cool with that, then go for it. But if you're not, just join an HR consulting company that is looking to grow, and then they deal with all the other, you know, overhead crap, and then you just do your job and go home. And so I'm the first one to say, I wish somebody pulled me aside and said, hey, how about you don't fend for yourself? With that said, I would never go back. I'm here now. I'm making it, and I'm having a really good time along the way, and I'm doing a lot more conference speaking. So I was just on a plane the other day, and I've got a whole series of a conference that I'm speaking at in the next couple months. And I love it. I just love to go and help people and say, don't do this. Here are the reasons why, not just because it's a best practice or the opposite, but because you're going to waste a lot of time and money, and you're going to lose your sanity if you take this route versus this route.
What did your folks do for a living?
My parents are in manufacturing, so they were both in manufacturing. Most of my family's in manufacturing. I was the first person in my immediate family to go to college, and then the first person in my giant extended family. I have one other cousin who went to college, two other cousins actually that went to college, but mainly manufacturing, construction, things like that. And ironically, you know, I was like, I'm going to college. I'm going to escape that. My favorite clients now, no offense to my other clients, but my favorite clients now are in manufacturing and construction. You know, it's just, I get them. I speak their language. I could say things that are maybe, you know, offend somebody in another organization or other industry. And I speak their language. I know where they're coming from. I worked in that too. I just didn't want to work in it full time.
Yeah. Gotcha. Your folks still alive? They're still in Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Nope. They're here in Florida as well. So all my family's in Pennsylvania, but I moved here. And then I don't know, maybe 6-7 years later, my parents moved here and everybody else stayed home though. I'm like, you don't know what you're missing. Granted, we do have 59 degree weather today, which is like an ice storm for us, but that'll only be for 3 days.
Yeah, seriously. Wow, you may have to actually bust out a jacket.
I did. I went for a walk this morning. I was like, need a sweater, not a jacket, but a sweater.
That's funny.
Like, I'm not going to complain because in a couple days, literally a couple days, we'll be sweating and everybody else will be going, ha ha.
Were you a good kid when you were in high school, college? Were you a party animal, going wild? Were you like in the library every day? Like where were you in the mix?
So two parts of that question, two answers, I should say. High school, I was like track, cross country, you know, National Honor Society, you name it. I was the good kid. Then came college. Let's just say I have 3 degrees and we'll leave it at that. I had a lot of fun. But I all of a sudden was no longer the angel of the world. So, but I had a lot of fun.
Got anything you want to confess? Any arrests in there?
Nope,
you
ever go to jail? Not, you know, absolutely have nothing I want to confess or talk about. Next topic, please. We're going to save that for my third and final book.
That's the third and final book.
Yeah, which will be when I'm retired from this career.
Gotcha.
Where
okay.
It's like going to be, you know, okay, here's the real stuff. But listen, you know, I have books. The titles of the books are going to tell you, like, I am not the average HR person and I am dominant. I'm direct. I'm going to tell you like it is. And if you're part of the problem, I'm not going to let you get away with it. You know, so I'm definitely, the fact that I'm still in HR, I probably couldn't get hired by corporate HR anymore just because of my mouth. But, you know, the fact that I was in HR, succeeded in HR, and people still come to me advice, it's like, all right, maybe some people like the directness, and
sure, I do.
You know, I all over my website and everything is like, Wendy does not sugarcoat things. So if you're looking for sugarcoating, go somewhere else, because I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to try not to hurt your feelings, but I'm certainly not going to sugarcoat it. If you're the jerk, I'm going to let you know.
Well, that's the number one problem with consultants, in my opinion, is they milk the client by not being direct enough, by not telling the client what they really need to hear. They're afraid, okay, well, if I tell Johnny that he's an idiot, then I'll probably lose the contract, and I really kind of need this contract for another 3 months.
Right.
And so they dance around, and then they just tell the owners, or they tell the CEOs, like, oh my God, you guys are so awesome. You know, they don't feed them the truth. And I hate that about consulting. And we even at Riderflex, recruiting and staffing is our primary job, but we do spin off and do some consulting gigs, because I was an operations executive for a long time before starting Riderflex. And I was just at a consulting assignment with a small company, husband, wife team. I spent probably 4 hours in the building. I came home and I wrote a presentation. And in the presentation, it said, husband needs to be removed from the business. Period. It's like,
yeah.
Remove your husband from the business. He does not need to be in the building. And you know, I was nice about the language, but I was very direct, and this is what you need to do. And I told him, I was like, I'm not going to come in here and feed you full of bullshit just so I can milk you for more hours. You're hiring me to tell you what you need to do. That's what you're going to get. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm the same way too. I'm the same way. I'm like, you're coming to me for advice and for my opinion. You know, buckle up, you know, suck it up, buttercup, because you're probably part of the problem. And if you want to continue being successful in your business, you're going to make some changes. But it drives me crazy. I will turn down clients if just when I'm talking to them, I'm already hearing, oh, they want to jip people off with money or benefits. I'm like, yeah, I'm not the consultant for you, and I'm not even going to refer you. Good luck. Good luck with that, because I wouldn't even refer you to somebody that's just going to milk you. That's not the type of people I associate with.
I totally understand and completely agree. I was asking you about college. You didn't want to confess anything there.
Okay, not at this point in time.
Now, your siblings, are they, you said one of them went to school, or they're all in manufacturing, you said, still, and they're all still in Pennsylvania.
They're all still in Pennsylvania. My youngest brother did go to school after later in life, and he is ironically consulting in the manufacturing world now. So his career has finally switched past couple of years ago, and he's like, "You should do what I'm doing." I'm like, "I am. I'm just doing the HR side. You're doing the more technical OSHA safety side, and then making sure everybody's, you know, compliant in the manufacturing world." So it's very interesting that in the end we ended up in pretty much the same careers, just different specialties.
Are they all driven like you? I mean, you're pretty high energy, pretty type A driven person. Are there any introverts in there, or they're all like you?
I wouldn't say that anybody in my immediate family is an introvert. where most of us are Scorpios on top of that. So good luck getting a word in edgewise. But yeah, we basically, if we're set to do, if we have an idea in our head, we're going to get it done, and that's it. And you know, if you don't want to be part of it, you might just move out of the way.
So at Thanksgiving, when everybody gets together, it's not quiet in your house. It's
definitely not quiet. The loudest person gets heard. And I think that's just that was another thing that it took me a long time to realize. I focus a lot on personality styles. I'm a high D, dominant D on the dispersonality.
No, stance. Go figure. That's weird.
Right?
I'm totally shocked.
I know, shocker. I know, shocker all around. But I thought about that when I first started doing one of the trainings, or I did an assessment, and then I was like, oh, I'm like, half of my family, even my extended family, my friends, the people I associate with myself are the same one. I'm like, oh, but I feel really bad for the other people. But it took me a long time to realize that that wasn't normal. Not that it wasn't normal, but everybody wasn't like that. And that, you know, being a loud person, extrovert, I'm kind of an ambivert, but or a dominant personality, that you could really offend people, and you know, you could just because you're louder doesn't mean people are going to do what you want them to do. You know, you have to tone that down. And that's a huge aha moment for me when I did my first ever DISC assessment. And then, of course, being the type A that I am, I immediately went and got certified and did this and that. And I was like, I need to know more. But it really was a huge moment for me to say, okay, hey, Wendy, grab the mirror. I think you're the part of the problem here. And you need to fix this, not blame other people who won't, you know, step up to your personality.
Now, I'm wondering what's your social situation. Is you married, kids, partners, single? What's going on with you?
I have a significant other. I was married for a hot minute and got divorced. And then I decided that I did not want to live in a traditional life. And so I'm calling in right now from my RV, which I live in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So yeah, I live in my RV for, oh geez, it's probably been like 7 or 8 years now. And I absolutely love it. My responsibilities are very big in with what I do as the HR lady and in helping people. And I just decided I don't want these other responsibilities of housing and everything. I want to work hard, work my butt off, and then I want to play even harder. And so that's what I do.
If you go and check out the Riderflex podcast on any of my clips on YouTube, you'll see where I'm recording from our RV from time to time.
Okay.
Because we have an RV and we work, my wife works on the business too. And so we work remotely. And if I have podcasts scheduled or if I have interviews with candidates scheduled, I do exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. I have all this soundproofing here. And
I see that. I need to get that. I was looking at that. I was going, okay, I need to step up my game a little bit when we're in the
Yeah,
RV.
They're pretty cheap actually to get. I just got a few more to put around my microphone actually.
Do you do anything with your lighting? I'm just curious. Anything with your lighting?
I literally just bought a new Ring camera yesterday. And so this is my first time using, and that's why I keep touching the light. So I keep doing that. I'm like, okay, I got to figure this out. Otherwise, you know, you hear the birds outside and then I'm like trying to do the lighting and everything, but lighting is definitely hard to do. I think in any setting, you know, especially if you're on Zoom or whatever, everything has its own reflections to it. So, you know, this virtual world that we're in, whether you're doing podcasting, just doing meetings, we really, you know, get personal with people into their home lives. Sure. And people, yeah, sure. You know, there are judgy people out there. They could go, you know, take a jump off a cliff for all I care, those judgy people, but other people that really does affect what they do on a regular basis. And, you know, for the people that are managers or just have teammates, just remember, not everybody's like you. A lot of people like their privacy. And when you ask them certain questions, like you just asked me, they may say, no, I don't want to talk about that. Or they may feel uncomfortable talking about it. I could talk about anything. I've been talking my whole life. I think I came out talking. And even my one older sibling, I think you should just give me everything to just shut me up. And I'm like, well, you didn't help the matter.
I think the remote thing is wonderful. We actually, so I was a, like I said, I was an ops executive and I ran a couple of $40, $50 million companies as a C-level executive for many years. And I just got tired of all of that. And I wanted to do something remote. I really wanted to do something A, on my own, and B, that I could do remotely. And I got tired of living in airplanes and all of that. And so, we started Riderflex primarily because I wanted to work remotely. So that's what we did. We did the same thing. I'm calling you from home now where we have an office, but quite often we have a little computer set up. We both have a little setup in the RV and boom, we're off on the road doing it from there, which I think is great.
That's awesome. The year before, I don't even know what year it is right now, but I did a 69-day cross-country trip by myself in my 38-foot motorhome from Florida to California and then the next level of states back. And I actually have a little information about it on my author page, the HR right. lady, and then go to author and you scroll all the way down. I have a little bit of YouTube video there of just kind of explaining what happened and everything. And boy, everything that could possibly happen happened. And it led me to St. Pete. And I moved here right after that trip and I wouldn't change a thing, but whew, it was expensive and scary and fun and amazing at the same time. But I did podcasts and trainings from the weirdest places and nobody knew a difference.
Are you using Starlink for your internet? What do you use?
No, I'm pretty stationary right now. So I have actual internet. Okay. And then I was using some on that trip. I was using like a device that I just had to keep, you know, okay. reloading. And that was definitely challenging. And you know what? I did discover on that trip in some parts of our country, I was in, you know, the South and then the West as well. There's a lot of poverty and people don't even have internet. And I couldn't even get an internet, you know, even at like, you know, one of the restaurants or something. And so it really made me think like, wow, these people that are living here, you know, we're like, oh, go to Indeed. They're like, what's Indeed? I don't have a computer. If I even have a phone, we barely have phone access. So from an HR perspective, it really made me start thinking like, okay, we need to vote. And we need to vote for things that matter for our humans in our country. And so that really gave me a smack in the face of like the things that I take for granted, even though I don't have that much. And other people don't even have the minimum of we have, and they're in the same country as us.
I could not agree more. So many people take things for granted every day. You know, they just, whenever they want a gallon of milk, they just go down and buy one. They don't even think about it. Right.
Right.
If they want to flush the toilet, they want to open the faucet and get fresh water. They want to turn the light on and get electricity. They want to eat lunch. They eat whatever they want. They don't think about it. And it's not like that for everybody. It really isn't.
Right. It's not.
Anyway. So, let's talk about HR specifically. Is there anything that you specialize in, or are you a generalist? Like let's just say there was somebody listening to the show and they need some HR help, small to medium sized company, they're growing, they don't have internal HR, their systems are all screwed up, whatever. They don't even have handbooks, nothing. What's your specialty? What's your secret sauce?
Sure. So I'm more of a generalist. So every company I've ever worked for or that I work with usually doesn't have HR. And so when you're the first person in there in HR, you're dealing with everything. You're recruiting, you're HR, you're safety, you're this. Now, I'm not a specialty in safety, but I know enough to get people involved. And I also know where to get the, I wouldn't say discounted, but you know, there's a lot of state plans and federal plans and grants and trainings that companies can get for free. You just have to fill out 900 forms. I know all of that because I used to work with those companies too, in the unemployment offices, career source type things are called career source in Florida. So a little bit of everything. I have handbooks for sale that have been vetted by employers. But the biggest thing that I love to do, all the HR stuff, pretty much a generalist on everything. The thing that I love to do, though, is train managers. Small companies are never going to have HR. If they are, it's also the business owner who happens to have the HR hat, or it's the ops guy or ops person that happens to also be in charge of HR, or it's payroll that happens to be in charge of HR, which basically means, and no offense to anybody that's in that position, you don't have HR because you have somebody who specializes in something, somebody else, and is dabbling in HR forms and going, I hope I don't get sued. And so I like to train the managers, any manager, somebody who's just got promoted to management or somebody who's been in management for how many years, but maybe in a larger company that actually had HR. I like to teach them how to be HR, how to stay out of court, how to attract people, how to retain people, period. That's it. That's all you really need to know. Oh, it's so easy, right? It's not easy. You know that.
Not easy.
Attracting people alone is very difficult. Retaining people is even more difficult. And then, you know, hopefully you can retain them and they won't turn over. They have to attract more people. But it's all about how are your managers treating the employees. And please don't go and blame managers, because if you've promoted somebody to a manager or you hired somebody as a manager, but you didn't assess their skills, or you didn't train them to have these skills of how do I motivate people? How do I inspire? How do I hire? How do I fire? What are the laws? Then that's on you, business owner. That's back on you. Don't be pointing your finger at the managers. But, you know, most of it does come down. People stay for their direct managers, you know, 9 out of 10 times, unless there's a lot of money, benefits, something like that involved, which most companies don't have an excess amount of that. People stay or they leave because of the management team. And yes. So, you know, get your managers trained, which means you're going to have to take some stuff off of their plate. And that's where we get stuck, right? We get stuck saying, well, I need them to do all this. Do you want them to attract and retain staff, or do you want them to do these widgets over here? Hire somebody else, take care of these widgets. Let the manager who actually likes people to be the one who's saying, hey, let me talk to you about what happened yesterday. Let me talk to you about the project plan. What skills do I need? What skills do you have? How are we going to get you the rest of the skills? Hey, employee, let me give you some feedback. Things are going well or things aren't going well, but I'm here to help you. And here's a training program we're going to put you through. You know, managers, we have to empower managers. We have to empower them. We have to train them, empower them, and then get the heck out of the way. That's really what the moral of the story is, always checking in on them, but making sure the managers know I'm here for you. Let me know what you need, and you know I'm going to give it to you. But if managers are unengaged, then their employees are going to be unengaged. If managers aren't satisfied, then their employees aren't going to be satisfied. So gotcha. When that manager finally does quit, they're taking the team with them. So not only are you losing the manager, you're losing the team too, because you didn't care about any of them. Yeah. So you know, that's the hill I'm going to die on there.
Do you target small to medium businesses, startup to small to medium?
Really anybody. A lot of my clients are smaller, maybe not startup, but I'd be more than happy to work with startups, because startups often bring in HR too late. If you bring it in the beginning, then you could set it up, and now everybody's, you know, taking, and it's easier and it's cheaper. Hey, here's the programs, roll them out. Any questions, call me. Bye. Versus, oh, we ignored you and we didn't do any of that because we didn't think it was important, and now we're getting sued. And I'm like, don't call me, call my friend over here. What state you're in? Here's their four lawyer forms, you know. But you could call me or somebody like me to help you prevent, to get it right to begin with. But I also work with a lot of larger companies that their cups just float over. Their HR department does not have time or the skills and aptitude to do manager training. So a lot of larger companies will call me and say, okay, we've got the HR stuff taken care of, but we don't have the time, the capacity, the knowledge, the skills, or even the desire to do management training. And unfortunately, also managers may not listen to the internal HR department when you're doing manager training. Mm. So a lot of times I'll work with the HR department and be like, all right, you tell me all the stuff you want me to tell them. Let's validate it. Let's make sure it's valid and reliable, not just, you know, some BS you're telling me, but let's make sure it's true. And then let's put the managers through all this training, build it into your program, hand it back to you. And then, by the way, let them know you're the one that told me all this. You're the one that gave me all this information. And then I go away and they trust you. It's not that easy, but you know, my goal is to go away. I don't want to be one of those consultants that be like, hey, let me hang on to this client forever. I'm like, oh, no. Move out of the way. I got other people to help, you know, here's the tools. Call me if you need me. But other than that, you know what to do. You got this. Take the ball and run with it.
Yes. Do you go on site? You do everything by Zoom, a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. I would say these days, most people are comfortable with remote work. I don't typically work with employees directly. I work with whoever the HR person is, the business owner, and managers. They call me, and then I talk them through the employee problem. Okay. So employees don't actually have access to me. I'm just a one person show. So I really don't have that much time, and it would be very expensive for them as well. But a lot of my manager training, if they're extremely customized, it is on site. It's just, you know, easier for everybody. So if you pay for me on site, you're going to pay more. If you want me, you know, from my kitchen table, then you're going to pay less. And then if you are interested in me doing a very specific management training, but for an industry, I'll just come to a conference and do a training for many companies at the same time. And then I work with a lot of community partners that, like, for example, I work with this organization here in Florida that specializes in manufacturing. And so they help manufacturing on the technical side. And then we pull together 2-day conferences that their managers come to, and it's just, you know, 12 companies and me. So maybe, you know, 30 people, and they're a small enough company, but they have 2 managers that need training. And it's like, okay, let's all share our expertise together so that when we're done with this, you can call that company that's down the street from you, but not, isn't necessarily a competitor. And you can call that company over there and, you know, share your ideas. So I think we're finally at the place in this world where we realize we're all in this together, and competitors will even help each other out as long as you're not stealing each other's employees or product ideas.
Tell me about your books. Let's talk about the books. Which one was first? And
yeah, sure. So I have 2 books, Suck It Up, Buttercup, Be a Leader, People Will Follow. It was my first book. That wasn't the title I wanted, but my friend who is an editor and was my coach said, nope, you're not leading with a curse word on your book. So that's going to have to be your second book. So in Suck It Up, Buttercup, you know, I say Suck It Up, Buttercup, because apparently I used to say it a lot, and somebody handed me a sign or something, not this one that's above me. It was a different one at a community event, and said, hey, I got this for you. You say that a lot. I'm like, oh boy, I'm the jerk here. And so I really talk about in there, I want people who are like me, dominant, direct, you know, they don't get emotional. They get the job done. I wanted them to read this book to say, yeah, suck it up, Buttercup. And then they go, oh crap, I'm the problem. So it's really about, you know, realizing, listen, personality styles matter. Get to know your personality styles, your personality traits of your employees. Get to know your own, most importantly, because the only one you could change is your own. So let's change your style for 15 minutes, no matter what it is, so you can get the person that you're talking to do what you want them to do. But you have to talk to them in the mode that they accept and appreciate, which is not always do this. we need to use emotions. We need to use emotional intelligence. And I learned, you know, that when you say suck it up, that's not emotional intelligence. And so it's sympathy and empathy are 2 different things. And so I talk about that a lot as well. And then I also just talk about in Suck It Up, Buttercup, the lack of common sense, that common sense is not common, but hold your judgment, because common sense is actually education. It's a common sense of education or knowledge, skills, and abilities that we forget is common sense, or we forgot what we learned. So I share this example in the book, and then also in a lot of my speeches. A long time ago, I went to one of my first HR conferences that I was invited to, like this fancy dinner ahead of time by the healthcare agents. You know, they're blowing money trying to get you to sign on to their program. I went to a really fancy dinner. I just told you, I grew up, you know, very working class. You ate what was in front of you, and you didn't wait for anybody to eat. You just dove in and ate, or your brothers and sisters were going to eat it, and that was it. And you didn't worry about forks and plates and all that. You just figured it out, right? So I go to this really fancy dinner, and there's probably like 8 of us at the table, and these 2 people that were sitting next to me, people are starting to get served, but not everybody served. The woman next to me dives in and starts about to eating. And I'm like, I'm a fixer. So I'm like, oh my God, she's so unprofessional. What is she doing? I'm judging. And I go ahead and make a joke. Hey, what did you 2 order that it's taken so long? And they were like, no, go wait. Don't wait for us. Just eat. And then I see this person go, oh, I was supposed to wait for everybody. And in my head, I'm going, oh, you idiot. You know, I can't believe that. I'm judging. Well, when I was walking away from that fancy dinner, I've never been to something so fancy like that. I was like, where the heck did I learn that? And I remembered in this organization that I worked for, because I did external recruiting and went to colleges and everything, our marketing director forced us all to go to an etiquette course. And that's how I learned. But in my brain, it was common sense, but it wasn't. it's not common sense. I learned it. So, you know, I like sharing those stories because, you know, we have to realize we've learned something somehow, either in our hood that we grew up in our college and our workplace where we're forced to go to an etiquette course. Really take a minute back next time you're silently, hopefully silently judging somebody and say, where did I learn that? So that's what I talk about in Suck It Up Buttercup. And then I even, you know, I have an activity, an acting lesson for personality styles at the last chapter. And that's free on my website. Cool. And then in my second book, which is called, I can curse on your show, right?
Yeah, of course.
It's called The Asshole Whisperer. So it's
All right.
Yep. It's about stories about, you know, tips to deal with crappy leaders and stories about jerks at work. And so my first book is more about people who are in the management role or even supervision role, although anyone could read it. The Asshole Whisperer is more for anybody, if you're an employee or a manager, but it's really more for somebody who has some kind of leadership role. And I leadership is such a vague terminology because anybody can be a leader. I hate when companies only say leaders are managers. And it's like, no, that's usually not the person that's really leading the department. It's somebody without that title. Now I talk about there, you know, about company values. And I really like working with company values. I was working with a large organization. I'm flying out to a university in 2 weeks to do some training. And I was like, what are your company values? And they're like, we don't know. I'm like, well, I found them on your website. Do you want me to let you know what they are? And I think she was a little bit embarrassed. And I'm like, your HR department should be embarrassed that you have company values as a marketing tool on your website, but you're not using those company values to hold people accountable for their behavior. You know, and one of the words was accountability. I'm like, so when people, and you know, respect. So when people are acting a fool, point to your company values, which should probably have the word respect, accountability, trust, professionalism, and they maybe have other words in them. I put everybody's company values right in the job descriptions. And then you're interviewing for company values. You're holding them accountable in their review sessions for company values. And when you have to walk them out the door, even though they're the best widget maker ever, sorry, you're a jerk. You're disrespectful. We proved it. We tried to help you. You won't change. You can't work here because you don't align with our company values. So I talk a lot about that in my book, The Asshole Whisperer, and then just about giving feedback about bad, you know, bad attitudes. And then I talk about personality traits, extrovert, introvert, ambivert as well. And then there's an activity at the end of that book as well that if you're interested in self-help, furthering self-help. So very short books, and they are coming out any day now on audio as well.
Oh, is it your voice?
It is not my voice. I gave up because I kept saying, I'm going to do this. And I said, I'm not going to do this. So I paid somebody. I'm actually very, very happy with her voice. I think it gives a different tone because I am so direct and I'm so sarcastic that it does give a different tone, but she got it. She got the message.
Was it worth the price? What's it called?
Yes. It was like $600 per book.
What? I didn't know that. Oh, I'm doing that right away because I don't know if you know this, but we also have two books. And so I'm doing that right away. I had no idea it was that cheap. Will you send me whoever you used?
I'll connect you with her. And so I have that coming out on Amazon in English. I don't have the Spanish coming out in audio, but I do have my books in Spanish as well. And then I have another a booklet called Company Culture is the Key to Success. And that's going to be free on my website. It's already free on my website as a PDF, but it'll be free as an audio book. Okay. Yeah, I will definitely send you that.
Both books are available on Kindle and paperback in Amazon. Is that what you said?
Yep.
Okay, great. All right. Very good. Okay, soon to be audio. Very cool. I got to get that done too. I had no idea it was that cost effective. Okay.
Well, for who I used it was, and I'm very happy with the results. So I will be more than happy for anybody. If you're interested, send me an email, wendy@thehrlady.com, and I'll connect you with anybody that can help you.
Tell me about your podcast.
So my podcast, The HR Lady, is a very short podcast. So I do just one a week. They're about 15 to 30 minutes. I usually have a guest on there. Sometimes I don't. And it's just my co-host and I, JC, who's also an amazing MC for conferences. I actually met him at an HR conference and we've been friends since then. And he has this MC voice. It's amazing. But, you know, we just talk about real life things and we get direct. We do have a another little mini series of the HR Lady podcast, which is called Fuck Around and Find Out. And so that is definitely have a little bit of a warning on it in case there's any small ears in the room or somebody that might be offended by that language. But, you know, we get to the point and we say, how can we help people? How can we, you know, I'm about helping companies. And if you can be helped by just listening to my podcast for free, I'll go for it. Like, I don't want your money. Like, other people need my help. And if you can use any of my tools or resources that are free or cheap without having to actually pay me, go for it, because I've got a lot of people that I'm trying to help. And so, yeah, check out my podcast. It's just Google the HR Lady. I'm all over the internet and it's completely free. And I hope it helps you.
Have you thought about making a GPT in the ChatGPT store for your coaching?
I actually just did it the other day. I created a GPT under ChatGPT. I created it. So if you just Google the HR Lady, but I kind of abandoned it because I realized for people to use it, they have to have the paid version.
For now, I think it's there.
I just haven't advertised it. I actually do at least one training a week on for HR people on how to use ChatGPT in the human resources world. I was just at a conference the other day in South Carolina teaching HR people how to use ChatGPT, and their mouths usually hang open because they're used to Google land where you're Googling, and that's really just SEO, and you're going to somebody else's website and you still don't know if it's truth or not. But ChatGPT or their competitor, Google Gemini, is amazing. It's like a little virtual assistant in your hand. And I tell everybody that I use it. They're like, why do you tell everybody to use it? I'm like, because I want them to use it too. I'm like, I'm transparent too.
Listen, if you're listening to this episode and you're not using one of those tools, you are behind, my friend.
Yeah.
If you're not using one of those tools, you're still in the covered wagons and we're driving the Ferraris. I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. If anybody that is interested in saying, well, where do I start? Again, connect with me on LinkedIn or shoot me an email and I'll send you two or three page prompts of what you can do. And your mind is going to be like, whoa, can create offer letters, survey questions. Yep. It could help create scenarios and what to do in this scenario. So you can role play them with managers, and then the managers can learn to handle it themselves.
We took our, we took both novels. So we built a GPT, Steve Urban's Career Coaching by Riderflex. It's the GPT. And we took the transcripts from both novels, put them in the GPT. And then we have over 1,000 clips on the Riderflex podcast. And so we've been busy taking the transcripts from YouTube. You know how YouTube will give you the transcripts for the podcast. And then we're just slamming those into the GPT so that it's continuing to get information that is really Riderflex flavored, so to speak, and not just a general answer from ChatGPT, you know, which I think is important. If you build one, it needs to have the HR Lady flavor or the Riderflex flavor, right? I think so.
Right. For the HR Lady. Don't be a stick in the mud. Thank you.
Very cool. So you got two podcasts, you've written two books. You're busy with as a independent consultant. What do you do in your spare time? What are your hobbies? Do you go surfing? No, I don't know. You don't surf in Florida.
I don't surf, but yeah, you can surf, but it's not that great. I mean, it's not like California, but you can definitely surf here, but no, thank you.
What's your hobbies? What do you do on the side?
I love anything on the water, even if it's just walking, kayaking. I have a foldable kayak.
Cool.
So that you can just pop it in the back of a car and unfold. It's heavier than a regular kayak or the paddle boards that I used to have, but I don't live right on top of the water. I live 10 minutes away from it in any direction. And I love to travel. I am actually going next month to the last three states in the United States that I need to go to.
What are those?
I am going to Michigan, Indiana, and Kentucky in that order. And so Kentucky and some bourbon tasting will be the last thing in the United States to say. I've been to every single state. By that time, I'll be to almost every Great Lake, but not every territory, but quite a few. And I have to say, a lot of my traveling in the early days was because of work and because of mergers and acquisitions and because of college recruiting that I got to jump on planes, thankfully, when I was younger and do all these things and get to experience the world a little bit. So I'm very thankful for that.
If I never have to fly again, it'll be perfectly fine with me.
I'm telling you, during the pandemic, I really got used to, okay, wearing t-shirts and just recently I'm like, okay, I'm ready to do the speaking stage again. So this month, next month, and I think May, I have a lot of traveling. And then I'm like, oh, I hope I don't have any traveling for June or July because I want to hang out in Florida and have some fun and get some sun and kayak and enjoy a lot of wine and other festivities that are related to that.
You don't want to, you kind of skated past the significant other pretty quickly. You don't want to share, you don't want to tell us about any of these. It must not be too.
I have a most amazing boyfriend ever. We both moved to St. Pete literally within weeks of each other, not knowing each other, and met each other at what is called Dog Bar. So there's a dog park a couple blocks down the road from my house that is
Okay.
also a bar, and it's the most magical place in the world because everyone is there worried about their dogs and not worried about what they're wearing or what color their skin is or what their ability or disability is. And it's just it's way better than Disney. And I don't have a dog, and every bartender knows me there because I'm there all the
That's pretty
time.
funny. That's good. Okay, cool. What's he do?
He works at a college in the technology division, and
Okay.
is the complete opposite personality of
You
me, but
cooked
it
over. How'd you
works.
know? How'd you know what my next question was? I just assumed. That's why I was going down that path, because I was just thinking to myself, being around you for the last 30 minutes, if he has your energy, yeah, I don't know. I don't think
No, he
it,
does
yeah.
not have my energy, and we joke about it. We only see each other two or three times a week, and there was a week or two ago that I was so busy at work, and I was like, I'm gonna bust my butt all week, and I'm not gonna go out at all. And then by the time I got to him on a Friday, he was like, oh, please, you have to go out during the week because you're talking my ear off. So I was like, note to self, I do have to go out during the week, even if it's just for a glass of wine or something to chat with people that want to chat, so my boyfriend does not have a heart attack.
Pretty good. Wendy, really cool getting to know you. Thank you for sharing your story. Congratulations on everything you've done. I mean, you've had your
Thank
own
you.
thing now for 10, 11 years, and that is not easy to do. Most people don't make it that long.
Yeah, I
You've written a couple
understand. Thank
books, you
you.
got a couple of podcasts, you got a trademark, two trademarks, you said, I
Two
think.
trademarks on the HR lady. Yep.
That's great. Congratulations. You're in your RV. You can live wherever you want. If you wanted to move. You could just do whatever. I think that's awesome. It sounds like a
Yeah,
fun
I
life.
love
Sounds like a fun life.
I'm having a lot of fun, and I think I'm just my personality has always been direct, blunt, to the point. I've learned to, try not to offend people with what I say or, the common sense stuff and then the personalities. And I really just wish everybody had a good manager like I did in growing up in the HR world, and a set of managers actually. I just wish that for everybody, like that they can go to work and not be stressed, and stress a little bit, but not be demeaned. And then kumbaya, all your retention and attraction problems would be gone. But we know that's not the way it is in the world because humans, we all bring our own individual personality, and we're not robots. And even though we have robots and AI now, they're still not going to solve the world problems. So that leads it back to me and to you and all of our listeners. So thank you for having me, and thank you for the listeners for paying attention and saying, hey, I want to be somebody who will be a leader by choice, not by a leader by just because of compensation.